Hey everyone, thanks for joining the Theotivity podcast. My name is Thaddeus, and today we're going to be doing an audio narration of the article Humble by Design, Creativity and the Distraction of Novelty. The design and art world can sometimes tend to foster a sort of egotism among artists. I've seen it. Competition is often fierce, jobs might be scarce, and you know, we need to promote ourselves, to brand our artwork, to get our names out there and tie it to stunning and quality work. You know, such is the nature of working as a professional artist and designer. However, that pride monster can grow really insidiously under all of this ambition to succeed in the professional world of design and media. It's sometimes masked or even openly lauded by a subculture that praises personal individual expression in, you know, art circles, or even just personal aggrandizement, you know, of just bigging up each other. However, as Christians, how should artists and designers working and serving within the church particularly, or perhaps in parachurch organizations, how should we be distinctly humble? In this article, I consider specifically those Christian creatives who find themselves working in church or Christian ministries. However, I think it would also be helpful to Christians and creatives in general to consider some of these principles. So let's jump in. The Theotivity Podcast. Theotivity is the place where theology and creativity come together. Here you'll find audio narration of articles, episodes exploring the faith, culture, the arts and media, systematic theology, apologetics, guest interviews with Christian thinkers, creatives, pastors, theologians, and much more. At theotivity.com, you'll find articles and resources to help you grow in your faith, as well as a portfolio of creative works. Like, share, and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Humble by design. Pride is by no means a unique struggle for creatives. Thus, it should be no surprise that the Bible gives us distinct principles which should guide how we as artists and designers approach our work to the glory of God. Philippians 2 is especially helpful in providing a theological framework for us. It says this: "So, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Do nothing from selfish ambition." Verse 3. So, what does this mean to artists and designers who are used to self-promotion in order to get work? More specifically, what does it mean to act Christianly in our work? Many of us are used to signing or watermarking our work, which, by the way, is a good practice for the sake of protecting yourself from plagiarism. I've suffered the ill effects of plagiarism before with people from all across the world, really, taking my work and slapping their name on it, and having to follow up with that and, you know, to issue cease and desist kind of emails. Not fun. So definitely watermark your work is good practice. However, with this can come a temptation to massage your own ego, right? Paul in verse 3, though, is telling us that we must not feed these sorts of temptations. Rather, we should let all that we do be geared and tempered by a care not primarily just for self, but for the interests of others. The selfish ambition that we see popular in secular art and design and in related fields should have no place to those who minister and work within the church. As I serve and work at my church, overseeing the media ministry and design work, it's taught me more and more about how to put to death the desire to make a name for myself by my design work. When you serve in church, there's only one name, really, that we should make it our aim to make famous. And it's not yours. It's not mine. It's not even my church's. This obviously applies also for those working in jobs outside of overtly Christian institutions. Thus, we can see where our work falls into the grand scheme of ministry. It's not the center point or focus. It merely serves the greater purpose of the gospel cause in serving others. It's not selfish ambition which drives us, but rather godly kingdom ambition. Verses 5 to 8 go on: "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Have this mind in you. Verse 5. Have this mind in you, the mind of Christ, which is marked by humility, service, obedience, and sacrifice. You see, Christ's humility means that just as he did not assert his rights and seek his own interests, the Christian artist's fame and self-interest must also take a back seat. This is highly countercultural in a secular culture which prizes self-expression and promotion. Christ's service means that a Christian artist understands that the role of his or her art it plays is one of service in the kingdom. Therefore, if the showiness, let's say, and complexity of our designs get in the way of the message, it's gotta go. We must serve kingdom goals firstly. Christ's obedience or sacrifice means that to be humble and serve with your art and design, you may sometimes have to sacrifice that which is most dear to your heart and put away pride as a designer. Practically speaking, this has played out itself for me, where I'll intentionally simplify a design to communicate clearly or more clear. Even though the intricate design is more artistically satisfying to me, sometimes, you know, doing this though can feel a little like, you know, like a little piece of you has died with the design, because we tend to attach ourselves to our work. But I keep in mind that my art and design are not to serve myself, but to serve others. I'll also submit my services to honest critique and feedback from non-creatives on our ministry team and within our church. If my design is not readily understood or doesn't communicate clearly to them, then I know it's not going to communicate well to the broader community that we aim to serve. I've had many productive meetings with our pastors and staff, which helped to clarify what is the end goal of the communication and how my design work might help to serve that purpose. I'm sure I'm not the only creative working in ministry that struggled with this. We love novelty, and it often plays an important part in creativity. However, novelty in of itself is not the end. That's not our end goal. I remember there was this one time I was working in an internship for a pretty big design company, advertising company, and you know, was brainstorming with a team on this ad for a powdered milk product, and I had such a we came up with this amazing ad idea basically like a cow at the top of a hill, and like, you know, somehow it gets knocked over or somebody maybe tackles it or something, and all you hear is the, you know, the camera cuts to another scene. And you just hear the sound effects of a cow rolling down the hill. Moo, you know, and just all this commotion. And then at the end, like, you know, as it crashes with this loud crash, the camera cuts back and it's, you know, the powdered milk kind of thing. And for us as a team of young creatives, we thought it was pretty catchy. It was funny. And, you know, it scratched our desire to do something really creative and fun. However, the client didn't really think so. And it's kind of one of those instances where you really have to humble yourself and be like, okay, this is not the communication that serves my client or their customers well. And perhaps a good illustration of how sometimes the thing that we, you know, like as creatives is not always the most helpful thing for the audience that we're trying to communicate to. Now, if you're just doing art for yourself or for perhaps even just other creatives, that's fine. But especially within ministry, where a lot of the design and art and whatever communications that we're putting out is not primarily just for our own audience, but it's for a more broad audience, sometimes we have to put aside the things that, you know, maybe you've spent 5-10 hours on a design that really tickles your fancy, but it's too complex, it's too sophisticated maybe, or too busy, that it doesn't communicate well. And we're gonna have to put that in a way to death, to put others ahead of ourselves, as the principle in Philippians 2 says. C.S. Lewis and the distraction of novelty. You know, if we're concerned with bringing the gospel effectively to our culture, the need for excellence in media is important, but not ultimate. The church survived for millennia without PowerPoint or Photoshop, believe it or not. However, the use of art and design should not be at the expense of Christian convictions and right heart attitudes towards it. Perhaps nowhere is this more apparent than in some attractional church models of ministry that prize novelty and utilize the arts to that end. Nobel Prize-winning author C.S. Lewis said on the dangers of entertainment and novelty in worship, he said this, "It looks as if innovative clergy believes people can be lured to go to church by incessant brightenings, lightenings, lengthenings, abridgments, simplifications, and complications of the service. And it's probably true that a new keen vicar will usually be able to form within his parish a minority who are in favor of his innovations. The majority, though, I believe, never are. Those who remain, many give up church going altogether, or merely endure." You know, sometimes as we're enthralled with our own designs or satisfied by the depths of symbolism, others are confused or discouraged. I've seen it before where there's a design that has all this complex layers of meaning, but it just ends up confusing a lot of people. We may think that, you know, it's our own creativity, that new design or innovative film or fresh musical composition, that's the key to church growth or interaction. However, while it can and does play a role, it's ultimately not the deciding factor or goal. We must consider, who does our art and design serve? Ourselves and our own artistic tastes, satisfactions, and, you know, desires? Or does it serve God and His people? You know, sometimes faithfulness can be sacrificed for novelty. Lewis continues, "Novelty, simply as such, can have only an entertainment value. And they don't go to church to be entertained. They go to use the service, or if you prefer, to enact it. Every service is a structure of acts and words through which we receive a sacrament, or repent, or supplicate, or adore. And it enables us to do these things best, if you like. It works best when, through long familiarity, we don't have to think about it. As long as you notice and have to count the steps, you are not yet dancing, but are learning to dance. A good shoe is a shoe you don't notice. Good reading becomes possible when you need not consciously to think about eyes or light or print or spelling. The perfect church service would be one where we were almost unaware of. Our attention would have been on God instead." I think this is one way to frame creativity in service of the church that is often overlooked. You see, creativity is not meant to be distracting from the main thing, but rather plays a supplementary or supporting role. Sometimes the question of whether novelty is a distraction or not in the church's service rarely is even considered or comes up. Seldom is it considered how, you know, familiar may actually be of greater use. Lewis continues, "But every novelty prevents this. It fixes our attention on the service itself, and thinking about the worship is a different thing from worshiping. A still worse thing may happen. Novelty may fix our attention not even on the service, but on the celebrant. You know what I mean. Try as one may to exclude it, the questions, 'What on earth is he up to now?' will intrude. It lays one's devotion to waste. There's really some excuse for the man who said, 'I wish they'd remember that the charge to Peter was feed my sheep, not try experiments on my rats, or even teach my performing dogs new tricks.' Thus, we must ask if the novelty or creativity introduced actually moves us and our people more towards genuine worship or away from it and becoming fixated on the new form or on the artist himself. While Lewis has in mind a more liturgical church setting, I think this principle is broadly applicable to the Christian church in general, and perhaps many evangelical churches have never actually stopped to consider this. Now, while I'm not against using new or modern forms of the arts or design in worship, you know, there was no electric keyboards or drums or projectors in the ancient church, I do think it's worthwhile for us to pause and consider Lewis's point. A part of our consideration as creatives should entail how we might humble ourselves to better serve our congregation and others we seek to reach. If you're in a Christian parachurch organization, that's also a consideration. Sometimes this may mean giving up on the novelty of something. Sometimes it may indeed involve employing a new and novel form to bring greater attention and clarity to a subject. However, in each of these, our motivations are outwards. They're God and other-centered, not to satisfy our own design itches or tastes. Neither should our first concern be what tickles and catches the attention of our congregants, or an unbelieving world even, but rather, what pleases our Lord and is in accord with His revealed word. Ultimately, as Christian creatives in ministry, we must learn how to detach from my art and consider it as a tool and gift to be stewarded in the service of others. See, for example, 1 Peter 4:10. This process necessarily involves humility, as we often are tempted to tie our identity too closely to our work. I know I struggle with that. I'm sure you do too. We are likewise easily enticed to an inflated view of how our creativity could better do the work of the ministry. However, our Lord's example of self-emptying calls us in humility to count others as more significant than yourselves and to look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. May we be humble by design. Thanks for listening to the Theotivity Podcast. If you found this content helpful or edifying, please leave a review on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, follow us on social media and consider sharing this episode to help Theotivity reach others as well. Check out theotivity.com for resources, info on how to support, and subscribe to our monthly newsletter to stay up to date on all the latest content. Until next time, live and create to the glory of God.